Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of Browns.
You know
fans.
Why it's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos. Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
As we move into the 8 o'clock hour here, it's the Christian Arcan Show, WEEI. Nice to have you with us here tonight. Your phone number, 617-779-7937. We're going until about 9:15, at which point we will move into Red Sox pregame. Red Sox and the A's, game 2 of 3 tonight, as Connelly Early going to be making his Major League debut for the Red Sox. If you have any Red Sox takes you want to get out there, you can go ahead and call those in as well. We will be sticking mostly to football here this hour as well, but we will maybe venture over into some Red Sox talk because as this season continues, as this final month of the season continues, we have yet another potential solution here for that number 4 starter role, or number 5 starter role, I guess, depending on what you consider Peyton Tolley to be. And it's another rookie, another very young, early 20s rookie. And I'm all for youth movements. I think youth movements can be a lot of fun and really reap a lot of rewards. But this one, I don't know. You know, I'm not sure about all this. This seems like a lot getting placed on some very young shoulders here. Anyway, 617-779-7937 is the phone number. What you just heard from Tommy Curran was a take that a lot of people got bothered by, were upset by. And that was his take, which is that if it was up to him and he was in charge of drafting for the Patriots not this past year, but the Drake May year, he wouldn't have drafted Drake May. He wanted J.J. McCarthy. Now, as someone who was more taken by both Jaden Daniels and Bo Nix that year, and my logic ended up being kind of faulty with Nix, I thought Nix wasn't going to get picked until like the end of the round. So I thought you could have traded back. You could have traded out of 3, taken Harrison or, you know, one of these other studs that year, or Alt or whatever, and then traded back and then got your quarterback later on in the round. And when I say later on in the round, Bo Nix, people were talking about him like he could draft it in the 20s or like end of the first round, potentially even early second round. That was what they were saying about Bo Nix and where he would get drafted. That is not where he got drafted, okay? He got drafted, what, 12th overall, I want to say? And, you know, you could maybe have traded back there, but I'm not sure that still would have worked. I think you still would have been, if you're going back like a couple of spots, fine. But you're not going back a couple of spots, drafting at 4 or 5, and then also picking at 12. Like, if you could have maybe wrangled an early second out of that or a later first-round pick or something along those lines for a team that was desperate to go out there and get Drake May. But, McCarthy went 10th, Nix went 12th. And the next quarterback didn't go until the next round. So, yeah, it went Williams, Daniels, May, Penix, McCarthy, Nix. And there's your quarterbacks. I wanted Nix. I thought Nix looked a little more pro-ready. I liked his game a little more. I liked the competition he played against a little more. And I didn't think Drake May was a terrible pick, but he wasn't my first choice. And I also thought that if you were able to pick up a quarterback much later in the round, then that could open up a lot of things for you. And, you know, that didn't end up really bearing itself out. All the quarterbacks were gone off the board by the time you got to 13. And the 13th pick that year was Brock Bowers. So it was a pretty loaded top 10, top 13. You know, like it's a lot of good players that went there. And that includes Malik Nabers. That includes Alt. That includes Adunze. All the QBs. Harrison, like, you know, that's potentially some 2024 could end up being like a pretty special draft, I think. But to hear that and to hear Curran say that, I disagree with him there about J.J. McCarthy. I was never a big McCarthy guy. I heard Andy Hart arguing with Ted and Fitzy about this. And I can't believe I'm going to keep agreeing with Andy Hart like every night. Why do I keep doing this? What's wrong with me? I should probably really re-examine. This is like a look in the mirror type of moment when you find yourself agreeing with Andy Hart this often. But I'm kind of thinking like, yeah, McCarthy, if McCarthy was on the Patriots, even after having missed this whole first year, you know, let's say that they treated him the same way that the Vikings did. And he's coming out here and now he's going to be the quarterback starting for this team this second year. I would have no faith in J.J. McCarthy at all. But it's not really about J.J. McCarthy. It's about the Patriots, and it's about this offense, and it's about this system, and it's about this entire organization and the atmosphere and the ethos and all of it. And it's all pretty lousy. Right now, they're not very high on anyone's list of anything, the Patriots. They got a pretty good statue. Did enjoy checking out that statue, but outside of statues, they're really lacking in a lot of other places. Especially when it comes to an environment that fosters a young quarterback and puts him in a position to be successful. Right now, I think it's clear that the Patriots are not a place that does that. And Mac Jones will tell you that to a much lesser extent. I think someone like Bailey Zappi even could tell you that. And I know you're probably, Bailey Zappi was never going to start here. I know. But there was a time where Mac Jones was clearly on the outs, and they were looking to Zappi, who was a fourth-round pick, by the way. It's not like he was some undrafted kid that can't, you know, like he's a player in college. And is he still in the league? Is Zappi still in the league? He is. I don't know where he is. But I think he is. Yeah, he's with Cleveland. Cleveland practice squad, I want to say. Either way. Like, that team needs some more quarterbacks, right? It's like, well, listen, Bailey. Joe Flacco, Shedeur Sanders, the other kid from Oregon, what was his name?
Dylan Gabriel.
And there was another one. It's like four quarterbacks. They all got hurt.
Pickett.
Pickett, yeah, right. They traded Pickett. And they cut Snoop Huntley. So, yeah, I guess it's just those three now.
Well, because they had Bailey Zappi waiting in the wings. Like, right. They trade Pickett.
When you got Zappi, I mean, you don't really need anything else. It's a real steaming Willie Beeman type of situation over there. You know
Zappi
I mean?
Mania was a crazy time.
Zappi Mania was tough. Zappi Mania had more to do with Mac Jones than it did with Bailey Zappi. That's really what that was about. And similar things happened back in the day with, like, Michael Bishop and Drew Bledsoe. Never really happened with Tom Brady. Tom Brady never had one of those backups that people were like, let's see the backup. Like, no one ever said that with, you know, any of those guys. Matt Gutierrez or, you know, anybody else that ever backed up Tom Brady. Sometimes you had to see those guys because Brady was injured or suspended or whatever. But for the most part, it was just not something you heard for a long time. Then that came back pretty strongly with Mac. Everyone wanted to see Zappi. You saw Zappi. You realized he might be better than Mac, but he's not very good either. And then you realize, oh boy, this season's not going very well, and it's not going to go very well. And part of that, I think, has to do with the way it was all set up. Mac Jones, in his rookie year, was there with Cam Newton. And Newton ended up getting cut before the season started. But they had all of camp together, and they developed a little friend. Remember Cam was calling him like Mac and Cheese and all that, and there was like this whole little bromance going on with the two of them. And then at the last minute, they cut Cam and they made Mac the starter, and the rest is history. But like with that going forward, you never saw that dynamic with him really again. Hoyer was there, but Hoyer was the third guy, and you know it was a little bit. He didn't last long either, and it seemed like by that point, and I don't know, Brian Hoyer could probably tell you more about that than I could, but it just seemed like they didn't really have that presence, that guiding presence. After that rookie year with Josh McDaniels, after that, it was just him and Zappi, basically, and Matt Patricia and Joe Judge. And that is not something that's conducive to success, no matter who you are, no matter who your quarterback is, whether it's, you know, Patrick Mahomes or Bailey Zappi. It really doesn't make a difference. Like, that's a tough situation for a quarterback to be successful in, especially a young one. And now you look at what they have coaching-wise, and you feel better about it. But do you feel better about any other aspect of Drake May and the way that they've brought him along so far? Because I don't. And I'm not really sure that I'm all that in love with the way the coaches are handling this. And it's not because I think the coaches are bad coaches, but I'm just not sure that they're all in the same.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Same page about each other and about Drake May. And that, I think, is starting to come to the light a little bit here, either by, you know, frustration and, you know, kind of just, I don't know, maybe we should run the ball more, whatever it is, you know, that Vrabel's saying after these games, type of things that you hear and you're like, huh, that's weird. It's weird that he just blurt that out like that and question his offensive coordinator after one game and put all that, you know, out there into the atmosphere. It does take a little bit off of him, but also when I think of Mike Vrabel, I don't think of a guy with some big system, you know? Like, what's the Mike Vrabel offense? What's the Mike Vrabel philosophy? You had Pete Carroll come in here, and we all know that Pete Carroll's a defensive-minded coach who likes to run three high safeties in a cover three and let you do some things over the middle, but if you try and go deep, they'll have guys back there, and you'll lose yards or, you know, you get picked off or whatever it is that's going to happen. And that's what you expect from a Pete Carroll defense or a Pete Carroll team. What do you expect from a Mike Vrabel team? When Mike Vrabel's teams were really good, what was really good about them? Derrick Henry? Okay, well, you don't have Derrick Henry. And Derrick Henry also had a little bit of trouble the other night. Good game, some costly fumbles there, and an inability to pick up a first down, which is why Buffalo won that game. But either way, I'm not here to talk about Derrick Henry. But it seemed like that was really what was the main... I don't want to say he was like a Tom Brady type figure and that's why Vrabel was winning, but like that's kind of in a similar vein, you know, like we only had a couple of seasons to go with where Mike Vrabel was really successful. And part of it was the defense, but I'm not necessarily sure you look at Mike Vrabel and think of like a signature defensive scheme like he's Dick LeBeau with the 3-4, you know, like that's not what you think of when you think of Mike Vrabel. You think of a guy who's more of a motivator. You think of a guy who's more going to make, you know, connections with his players and get him to run through a wall for him and sort of all of that. That's the Mike Vrabel experience. That's what it was advertised as anyway. There hasn't been a whole lot of talk about Mike Vrabel and what his X's and O's philosophy really even is. He had more of an idea of that with Bill Belichick, and he had a much bigger body of work with Bill Belichick that you could pick apart and sort of learn about without him really offering anything to you, because we know Belichick never offered anything to anybody when it came to that stuff. With Mike Vrabel, I just don't know. I don't know. Is it all going to be left up to the coordinators and he's just going to kind of float in between them? And, you know, I remember he was talking about learning the offense and being there when the McDaniels was teaching the offense so that Vrabel could learn the offense and he could help coach it. I don't know how effective a head coach is going to be at teaching something that he's also learning at the same time as everybody else on the team, especially when that's not his area of expertise. But that's where we are right now. The Vikings, where J.J. McCarthy is, they have a system that's conducive for success. They have two all-world wide receivers. They have a good run game. They have a good O-line. And they have a coach who has, head coach, I should say, who has a plan. And that plan, I think, is lacking here with Drake May. And I asked Doug Cott, I said, what do you think the plan is? And he said, well, the plan, it seems like, is to not let him get hit so much. And I appreciate that as a plan. They shouldn't let him get hit so much. They should try and protect him, sure. But that isn't really a plan. Like, you know, if he was his rookie year and you want to implement a plan like that, like that's what the Colts did with Peyton Manning. Peyton Manning's rookie year, Mora basically said, don't let him get hit. I don't care if we have to bring in two tight ends and block. We're not going to let this kid get hit, okay? We're going to let him make his decisions. If he throws interceptions, he throws them. But we are going to block, and we are going to keep him upright. And that is going to be the plan for week one, or for season one of Peyton Manning. And it seems like they're trying to maybe do a little bit of that now with Drake May, not to the same extent with the two tight ends and everyone staying back and blocking and all of that. But if that's what they're emphasizing, fine. But I think at this point in his career, you want a little bit more detail when it comes to what the plan is with Drake May. What kind of quarterback do you even want him to be? Do you want him to be a guy who runs around and throws on the run? Do you want him to stay in the pocket? Do you want him to get the ball out real quick like Tom Brady used to? Is it going to be that kind of offense? And if so, is he the right kind of guy to run an offense like that? And if not, then is Josh McDaniels the right guy to tailor an offense around Drake May? And those are the questions that are going to have to get figured out pretty quick here. Because right now, I don't think that you really saw any progress at all. And that's something people were really hoping for. I was really hoping for it. And instead, here we are. 617-779-7937 is the phone number. Let's go to the phones and talk to our good friend Johnny in Brooklyn. Hey, Johnny.
Arcan, thanks for taking the call, buddy.
You got it.
I got to tell you, I was very concerned watching that Drake May performance. It looked like, where was the progression from last year to this year? What did he do all summer? He looked like he lost a step, which is impossible, but he looked slower on the run. He looked like a guy who lacked confidence. And then I watched J.J. McCarthy last night, and I'm no expert on him, but the one thing I could see is that the guy was into it and he was hyping up his teammates. And maybe I missed it, but I did not see a lot of that from our guy Drake May. So I found that very concerning all around. We'll see how it goes in week two, but I appreciate you, buddy.
Yeah, Johnny, thanks for the call and thanks for checking in. And I think you're right about that. Although McCarthy had a tough start to the game. He didn't play well for three quarters. He didn't play well until the fourth quarter. And that's when Caleb Williams suddenly turned back into a pumpkin himself. Or he may have been a pumpkin the whole time. I don't know. But that, for McCarthy, like, it didn't, like, he didn't immediately start dropping dimes out there. Like, it took a couple of tough quarters there with that Bears defense before things started to click. But boy, did they click at the end. And you're right. I mean, McCarthy was out there showing a ton of emotion and really, you know, getting into it with his teammates. In a good way. I mean, not like getting into it with his teammates, but like getting into the game with his teammates. And I agree. I don't see a lot of that with Drake May. And you also haven't seen a lot of opportunities for him to really celebrate with his team. That's the other thing. Like, you have a young quarterback. He needs to be able to celebrate. He needs to know what wins feel like. You know? Right now, it's just the opposite of that. EJ is in East Boston. What's up, EJ?
Hey, Arcan. How are you, man? Long time no talk.
Yeah, man. What's going on?
You had made a small point about, you know, if J.J. McCarthy was on this Patriots team. And, you know, for the sake of hypothetical, if it was with Mike Vrabel, you know, Mike Vrabel's Tennessee teams you were mentioning before, although they didn't really lack an identity, right? They ran the football hard. They got the ball to their playmakers. I think, you know, they had A.J. Brown. Mm-hmm. I think they had Jonnu Smith before he came here.
Yes.
They had Corey Davis. And they played good defense. And what's funny is those Mike Vrabel teams – kind of were almost what J.J. McCarthy succeeded at when he was at Michigan. He had to just hand the ball off and get the ball to his playmakers when he had to, and he ran the ball well. I like Drake May. I think Drake May is a better quarterback than J.J. McCarthy. Drake May made one play in this Patriots game that made me realize he was a bonehead. He would start running, and he would get down, and he would slide. And you're like, oh, great, Drake May's doing this. He's protecting himself. But then he had that play where he threw the ball, it got deflected, and he caught it.
Yeah.
And if you remember, he caught it, and he, like, ran off, and then he just took two massive hits.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like, buddy, you can get down. You're still a runner. But my point is, I actually think, Arcan, for the sake of argument, you have a show to do today, I actually think J.J. McCarthy, given the system of work, what worked well with Mike Vrabel in Tennessee, I actually think he may be a little bit of a better quarterback for that skin fit than a gunslinger like Drake May. Thanks for the call. Good talking to you.
Yeah, EJ, you might be right about that. You know, for the Josh McDaniels offense, you might be right about that. J.J. McCarthy was someone who benefited from a lot of great play around him in college. And that's the thing I agreed with Andy the most about, is that I didn't think he was really that good in college. I thought he had a sick running game and a couple of tough receivers and a great defense and a good offensive line. Just, you know, really benefited from that. And he was a good leader. I mean, listen, in college he was a good leader. So was Mac Jones. You know, Mac Jones had a lot of friends in college, and they loved him. That picture of him with a cigar and all his boys all hanging around with his belly hanging out, like, that was, you know, I can see why people liked him. Didn't love him so much here, but that's a different story. As far as McCarthy versus Drake May, we'll see. We'll see if those relationships develop. And with May, again, I mean, I'm not going to pretend like I know the guy very well. I interviewed him last year, and most of the time it was on the phone. He didn't like coming to talk to us, and it doesn't seem like he likes doing that again this year either, by the way. They didn't even go to Gillette yesterday. So, you know, we'll see. We'll see if he kind of continues to isolate himself. We'll see if there's more interaction maybe on the sidelines. And that's, again, not the end of the world one way or another. But it is something you notice. It's something you notice as a viewer and as a commentator and all these other things. And it would be nice. It would be nice to see the team come together a little bit with Drake May at the middle of it. 617-779-7937 is your phone number. Quick break. When we come back, we'll have your New England Nightly News. It was the preliminary mayoral election today in Boston. Also, Boston may have a nightlife problem that's going to get addressed. We'll talk about all of that with your phone calls right after Thomas here gets you caught up on what's trending.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.